Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and how to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us here again. It really is. Now, what's going to be in our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, this is going to be the first of several times when we are going to be talking about sharing, about giving in ways that are going to be pleasing to God. And listen, right off the bat, let me tell you, I promise you, these will not be your normal or traditional teachings on giving. I promise. You're going to be able to walk away from these times together with a whole new attitude when it comes to giving God's way. It's going to be great. And then during our Q&A time together, we're going to talk about some real-world giving questions. Then you're going to discover from the Better Business Bureau what is and how to avoid the latest scam that's going around, which just happens to be a dental scam. You're going to get that from the Better Business Bureau. And finally, well, we're going to hear from Christian author and speaker and coach. We are going to be blessed by yet another Minute with Maxwell. Today, John is going to, he's going to share with us his thoughts on the word fulfillment. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together in the Lord. Now, as we start, as we always start, let's open with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. We really do. Will you please give us the ears to hear all that it is that you want us to hear, all that it is you have planned for us to hear today to your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we start out this time together talking about sharing God's way, let me ask you a question, okay? All right, a question. Here's the question. Do you like change? and no, I don't mean nickels and dimes and quarters. I don't mean all of the change in your pocketbook or billfold or purse. I mean change like doing something different. Do you like change? Well, if you are like most, you don't like a whole lot of change because you've long since discovered that change can be quite uncomfortable, right? And you don't like to be uncomfortable, do you? Well, let me show you what I mean about change being uncomfortable. See if it rings a bell. Okay, here's something I saw once, and I think it serves as a great example as we start out this teaching. Now, what I want you to do, put your hands together. Now wait a minute. Unless you're driving, okay? If you're driving, don't do this. Just listen, all right? But if you're not driving, put your hands together in a way that you would normally put your hands together, okay? Put them together and keep them together for just a minute or two. Now, I'll let you know when you can unfold them, but for right now, just fold your hands together. Now, what I want you to do is to take a look at your thumbs, okay? Take a look at your thumbs. Is your left thumb on top of your right thumb? Well, if it is, there would be those that say that you are a logical thinker. You're a left-brain thinker. But what about the other way? I mean, is your right thumb on top of your left thumb? Well, if it is, you are said to be an emotional thinker. You are a right-brain thinker, okay? Now, looking at your thumbs, do you have anything else? I mean, are they together? What does that mean? I have no idea. It could mean that you're just a bit confused. I have no idea. And as a matter of fact, I got to admit, I have to tell you, I haven't really thoroughly checked out those right brain, left brain claims. So I'm not sure exactly how valid those are, but really that's not important. That's not the lesson. Here's the point. Are your hands still together, right? Okay. What I want you to do is to reverse the thumbs, okay? If your right thumb is on top of the left, switch it around so your left is on top of the right. Now, let me ask you, how does that feel? Well, if you're like me, it's different. It is change, and it is uncomfortable, right? Now, what in the world does this have to do with sharing God's way, you may be asking? Well, but stick with me. You're about to find out, okay? And by the way, go ahead and unfold your hands, all right? Unfold your hands. Now, let me suggest to you this. Listen carefully. The most important principle in the Bible about money is not sharing. It is not giving. It is not tithing. What is the most important principle, financial principle, in all of God's Word having to deal with money? Well, it is managing. Remember our teaching on wealth and stewardship? It is managing. The most important principle is learning how to be a steward, a manager of the resources that God puts in your hands, right? But now that you fully understand the principle and the importance of stewardship and all that goes with it, now it is time to talk about sharing God's way to include talking about our tithe. How are we going to steward the financial resources that God puts into our hands in a way that's going to be pleasing to Him? Okay, but first, well, I got to submit to you. First of all, you're going to need to have a whole lot better understanding about the characteristics of change and the impact that change has on sharing God's way. You know, the thumb exercise is not without purpose. It has it is a good purpose. It is a good thing to be able to have you begin to see the impact change has on sharing God's way, okay? Then you also are going to need to see some of the religious folklore that surrounds the tithe and giving today. And then you're going to take a short scriptural survey to discover exactly what God means by the tithe. I mean, what does the Bible have to say about tithe? Then also coming up, we're going to be talking about different levels of sharing. For example, we're going to be talking about sharing out of obedience, sharing from your abundance, and third, sharing sacrificially. And finally, we're going to spend a time or two together where you're going to get very, very practical and to take a look at some of the most common questions surrounding sharing God's way. For example, questions like, how much? Do I share on the net or the gross? With whom? I mean, with whom am I to share and with whom am I not to share? And a whole lot more. Okay? Okay, so that's where you are headed during our next several times together. And I promise you, this is going to be one of the most spiritually rewarding and most spiritually practical of all of the times we're ever going to be able to spend together. Now, for now, well, let's get started. Let's get started with the tithe. And the first thing we're going to do is, well, we're going to back up a little bit to the thumb exercise that you had just a couple of minutes ago, okay? So here we go. We're starting into it now. One more time, as long as you're not driving, what I want you to do is to fold your hands together, okay? All right. Now here is what I want you to do. Reverse the thumbs. Reverse them. Now, let me ask you, how does that feel? Is it a whole lot more comfortable or is it uncomfortable, right? Now, if you're like me, it's probably not comfortable at all. It probably feels very uncomfortable, right? Now, why? Why is that? Why is it uncomfortable to reverse your thumbs, even when we just did this just a minute ago? Well, because it is change. It is change. Or what about this one? This is another good example to get a concept of change in our mind. And again, I want you to do this if you're not driving. Okay, if you're driving, just listen. But if you're sitting someplace, what I want you to do is to clap your hands in the way that you would normally clap your hands, right? And look how you're doing it. My guess is you're clapping with a side-to-side motion, right? That's how normal people normally clap. But now what I want you to do is to switch it. What I want you to do is to clap your hands using an up and down motion, all right? Up and down. Clap your hands, okay? Oh, yeah, that's got to be uncomfortable, right? Sure it is. Now, one more. And let's see if I can, this is fun. Let me see if I can do this with you. And again, only if you're not driving, okay? What I want you to do is to fold your arms together the way that you would normally fold your arms together. Now, you got them folded? Now, don't just spin them, but physically try and reverse the position of your arms so that if your left arm is crossed on top of your right arm, switch it so that your right arm is now on top of your left arm, okay? How does that feel? Kind of weird, isn't it? You see, my friend, okay, you can unfold your arms. You see, my friend, change, most all of the time, it's going to start out to be very, very uncomfortable, okay? And so many times, my guess is that so many times when you get involved in things that require you to change, you get all motivated, you get into it, but then you get all involved with the discomfort of change, and then what happens? Well, you tend to fall away from that change. You just don't stick it out. Has this ever been the case in your life? I mean, have you ever wanted to change the way you look? Or maybe how or how often or what you eat, okay? How much you weigh? Or how much TV you watch? And on and on and on, right? Have you ever really, really wanted to change the way that you handle your finances? But when it got a little uncomfortable or a little bit more uncomfortable, you simply went back to the way that it used to be. You see, the natural tendency is that you'd rather have the comfort you know than the discomfort that you don't, okay? I mean, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, my guess is yes, it has. And probably more than once, correct? You know, people who keep numbers, they're going to tell you that it takes from 18 to 30 days for something, actually most anything, to become a habit. 18 to 30 days. Now, that means if you practice, for example, if you practice reversing your thumbs or the way you clap, I mean, if you're going to practice about 18 to 30 days, it's going to eventually become a habit. And along the way, it is eventually going to become less and less uncomfortable until the point that it becomes more and more comfortable, okay? And do you know what? It is the same way when you work with the will of God. You see, getting into God's word about anything, especially working with what God has to say about how to manage money in the material areas of your life. Listen, just like we said earlier, you have been trained for so long to look at financial management through worldly eyes, right? That when you begin to change, when you begin to walk down the road from financial bondage toward financial freedom God's way, well, you soon discover that walk starts out with a whole lot of discomfort in it. It really does, almost all the time. And that's because it involves change. Okay? That's one reason why you're taking the time to first work with God's spiritual, his financial principles before you begin to work with a whole lot of financial practical applications, primarily your budget. You notice during all of our times, now we've been on the radio for almost a year now, we've not talked about the budget hardly at all, okay? Why? Well, you see, if you start heading down God's road to financial freedom and you're doing this because the IRS tells you that you should, or Bob Lauder says so, or maybe Dave Ramsey or your pastor, or maybe your husband or your wife says so. Hey, listen, because anyone or any set of circumstances tell you that you have to change. Well, my friend, I can tell you from experience, if those people and those circumstances can talk you into changing the way that you manage money, listen, somebody else can come along and talk you right out of it, okay? But if you begin that process of change, because you know that it is God's plan for you, it is part of His will for you, then you know what's going to happen? You are going to stay with it, and over a period of time, it is going to become comfortable. Now, I just want to tell you right off the bat, that when you begin to identify ungodly financial habits that you need to get rid of? And listen, and you begin to recognize that financial freedom, God's way, is where God wants you to be, and you start walking in that direction, your walk is going to be uncomfortable, at least for a while. Okay, at least for a while. Now, the good news is that as you walk, you have the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And you have God's supernatural armor to put on and to guide and protect you. You see, my friend, you can boldly go where you have never gone before, and you can actually begin to enjoy the journey. So yes, we're going to be talking about sharing God's way. But I have to warn you that some of these times together might just become like forcing yourself to reverse your thumbs, right? It could very well be that during these times together, you are going to discover that God is calling you to change the way you live and change the way you give. So, now that you are beginning to see and appreciate the characteristics and the implications of change, well, now, the very next thing that you need to do is to deal with some of the religious folklore that has developed around the subject of giving, and more particularly the subject of tithing. Okay, now I'm sure that you recall what religious folklore is all about, right? We talked about it several times ago. Now remember, religious folklore, well, that is all of the stuff. It is all of the sayings that sound spiritual, but are not scriptural, right? Religious folklore includes all of those sayings that can really get us into a world of hurts, into a world of trouble, if we are not close enough to God to already know the truth. Now, do you recall from our prior times some of the examples of religious folklore that we shared? Well, let me just remind you of a few, all right? Here's one, probably one of the most popular ones. God helps those who help themselves. Religious folklore. It may sound good, but you're not going to find it in the Bible. What about this one? Money is the root of all evil? Well, no, you're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. That is definitely an example of religious folklore. Remember, it's not Mount or the value, it's our attitude that gets us into trouble here, okay? And also, one more here. Remember this one? Poverty is spiritual? Nope. Mm-mm. Listen, these are just some of the religious folklore examples that we talked about during some of our earlier radio seminar times together. Now, my experience has proven that there is a lot of religious folklore that has grown up around giving and the tithe. And as a matter of fact, two of the most common examples of tithing folklore have been formed into two commonly practiced religious legalisms. And by the way, that's normally exactly what happens, isn't it? You find both financial bondage and religious folklore can lead you into religious legalisms. How so? Well, let me give you two examples. First of all, there are those in the body of Christ who say that the tithe is only meant for the Old Testament Jew, okay? This group of folks believe that tithing has no New Testament application. Therefore, these folks, well, they probably never are going to establish any goals for tithing or any goals for giving or sharing. Now, they may give, yes, they may give, but when they do, if they do, it's only going to be on a hit or a miss basis only. Or maybe only when the pastor preaches a particularly dynamic, moving sermon, or maybe only when they know that pastor is going to come over for dinner, right? I've heard these folks called holy tippers. Holy tippers. Are you a holy tipper? Now, on the other hand, on the other side of that religious folklore coin, there are all of the New Testament legalists who say that unless you tithe, You cannot possibly name the name of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You cannot possibly be a Christian. And you are not really part of the Christian community unless you're tithe, unless you're tithing. You see, for these folks, tithing is stressed almost above everything and anything else. The logic is here that tithing assures your spirituality. But listen, you already know that that is not the case, right? All you have to do is recall what Christ said about the Pharisees back in Matthew 23, remember? He called them self-righteous men because even though they tithed down to even the last mint leaf in the garden, they left a whole lot of other things undone, such as living in truth or in love. So we got to recognize when we talk about giving and talk about tithing that there is some religious folklore that we're going to have to deal with. And it is also that religious folklore is put into place for the most part because of change. And we understand that the longer that we practice religious folklore, the more comfortable it's going to be. And, well, listen, the more we try and allow the Lord to work us out of religious folklore when it comes to giving and tithing, the more uncomfortable it's going to be. Listen, change, my friend, change has a great impact on our attitude about sharing God's way, okay? Now, that's enough for now. That's enough for now. Next time, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the scripture to show you what the Bible says, and we're going to start covering the three levels of sharing. Did you realize that you could give on three different levels? According to the Bible, you can share out of obedience, out of abundance, or you can share sacrificially. It's going to be a great time together, so don't miss it. Now, during our Q&A time together, let's continue to build just a bit on what we just learned during our seminar segment, okay? Let's continue to build on what the Bible has to say about giving by taking a look at this one real-world question, all right? Here's the question. Bob, should I claim what I give to God as a deduction on my income tax since God said that I am to give in secret? And by the way, you'd be amazed at how often we get this question or questions that are very similar to this, all right? Now, Peggy, I hope you're listening because I have to suggest to you that it is highly doubtful that anyone ever claims a tax deduction because he wants the government to see how righteous he or she happens to be. And besides, the tax return, it is a private document. And I got to tell you that most churches and charitable organizations, well, they take great care in keeping their donation histories of other folks confidential. The tax deduction is a legitimate benefit that the government has made available to all Americans, okay? And by the way, there's a sense in which it would be poor stewardship not to take advantage of it. However, let me give you a caution, okay? We are to avoid paying taxes whenever legally possible. Avoidance is okay if it's legal. However, that differs from evasion, okay? We are never to evade paying taxes that are legally required, okay? Avoid is okay because it's legal. Evade, not okay because it is not legal, okay? So what does that mean? I got to believe that claiming your tithe on your taxes is a great way to reduce your taxes and has got to be a good example of good stewardship. Hope that answer helps. Now it's time for a scam alert from the Better Business Bureau on how to spot red flags when looking for dental deals, okay? And I'm sure you already know that, you know, dental work can be expensive. Whether or not you have insurance. And scammers know that. Now, recently, the Better Business Bureau scam tracker has received multiple reports from people who were scammed by con artists claiming to offer expensive dental services or equipment at discounted rates. Now, here's how the scam works. You do an online search for, maybe a retainer, okay, or some other kind of dental equipment. And you find online an ad that looks legitimate and you click on it and you go to visit the website. And the website may feature some high-end, some high-quality customer videos that seem convincing. And best of all, what you find is that the price is right. you're only going to pay a few hundred dollars instead of a couple of thousand dollars that your dentist quoted you, okay? And then what happens is that once you place your order, the charge appears on your credit card, and the business claim, the business claims your order is on the way, but it never shows up. It never shows up. And it's only after you see the charge on your credit card and the product hasn't shown up that you begin to wonder whether or not you've been scammed, okay? And what you're going to find, you're quickly going to find that the company is not legit and you've lost your money, okay? Now, that is how the scam operates. Now, how can you best spot these type of scams? Well, three things, and you know these things, but I'm going to refresh your mind anyway. Always research the company before you buy. Check online Better Business Bureau. If it's too good a deal from a company you haven't heard of, just don't go there. Number one, be wary of all online ads that offer you something for nothing, all right? And number three, don't fall for deals. Again, listen, that sound too good to be true. You know, many a scam victim fell for a great deal that didn't turn out to be a great deal at all. You know, sometimes scammers love to offer high dollar products like dental equipment at prices that are much lower than the actual cost. Just don't go there, okay? And finally, one other thing, always remember, if you're going to buy anything online, always remember to pay using your credit card, not a debit card, but a credit card. Don't give an online check. You see, when you pay with the credit card, you can usually dispute any fraudulent charges. So to be sure you know your dispute time limit given to you by your credit card companies, right? Often a company isn't going to deliver anything. They're not going to tell you that it's not on the way until after that date has already come and gone, okay? So, good lesson from the Better Business Bureau. Watch out for dental scams. Now, let's start to wrap up our time together with one of my favorite times together. That means it's time to spend another minute with Maxwell. This week, John Maxwell is going to give us his thoughts on the word fulfillment.
Fulfillment is our word today on Minute with Maxwell. Our team member David from Orlando, Florida, gave it to me. When you talk about being a fulfilled person, it really means that you're very pleased, very satisfied. And I think that pleasing and satisfaction comes from the fact that you either know that you did your best or you know that what you did really helped someone else. I don't think it's possible to have true fulfillment if it's just about you. I think that we are created to have most of our fulfillment when we add value to others. It's the difference between success, which is about me, and significance, which is about you. I've known a lot of unhappy, successful people in my life, but I've never known an unhappy person that was fulfilled because they were doing significant things for others. So when you think of this wonderful word that we all want to have describe our life, we would all say, yes, John, I want to live a fulfilled life. Of course you do. I do. But I want you to understand, we are fulfilled not because of what we do for ourselves, but because of what we do for others. Putting others first really gives us that feeling of fulfillment, which is something that is priceless and important to all of us. Thanks for joining me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, great word, John. And actually what I hear John saying is that when we add value to others and we put them first, our life will become naturally more fulfilled. It truly is a great feeling, isn't it? When you make a significant impact on someone's life, fulfillment. That wraps up our time together today. Now recall, looking back, that during this first of several times together talking about sharing God's way, about giving in ways that are pleasing to God, recall that we must consider the discomfort of change and the pressure of religious folklore. Next time, we're going to be talking about the three different levels of giving, so don't miss it. Now, you know all about and how to avoid the dental scam that's going around, and John Maxwell shared with us his thoughts on the word fulfillment. My friend, I do want to thank you for being with us again today. And now, as we always do, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us back together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.